It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show underway. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo with you here. It is Wednesday, my dudes. And we begin turning our attention towards the football weekend upcoming, coming up in about 40 minutes here on the show. We're going to be joined by a young man I've had the pleasure of sharing the airways with on the BetQL network a handful of times, Denton Day. He is also the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM College Radio and a host on 106.7 The Fan in Baltimore, Maryland. He's going to join us to talk some college football coming up here in about 40 minutes from right now. Very excited to spend a few minutes on the air with Denton Day. You guys are going to love this cat. He's going to start joining us on Wednesdays through at least the remainder of the college football season. And honestly, we'll probably keep him on after that because dude's entertaining. Love Denton Day. He'll be joining us coming up here in about 40 minutes. You're going to want to stay there for that. But it is now 7:01 in the a.m., ladies and gentlemen. You're inside of an hour away from having to get clocked in and locked in at the office. And you and I and everybody knows what the best part of the day is, all right? It's not when you finally knock out that TPS report and drop it on the boss's desk. The best part of the day is not when you get called down to HR to verify an incident that happened. You are obviously uninvolved. All right, you're a member of the Armada. You're above that.
Congratulations on being cleared of that.
Yeah, man, that one thing's been hanging around the office for a while. It's not when Cheryl says I brought in donuts and you walk down to the break room and you find out she brought some like overnight on the shelf gross glazed donuts. Didn't even have it in her to stop and get some some frosting on them.
Come on, Cheryl, we know you make money.
Yeah, you know, like. The hot now sign's on in the morning, Cheryl. Get some good donuts, all right? Well, I mean, I appreciate it, but like, come on. The best part of the day, of course, is when you walk down the hallway and you go meet your coworkers by the water cooler because it's time to talk sports. And is there plenty of sports to talk about? That's why Lonzo and I, every morning at 7 a.m., do this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get cranking the SAM in the workday. Our boy Matt on the stream says, already clocked in, Rob. Hey, welcome to Early Wake Up Nation, baby. Zoe and I, we're up at 2:15 in the morning getting the grind on.
Well, that's a late wake-up call. That's when we hit snooze three times.
No, well, like we're up at 2:15. Like 1:45, the alarm's going off. And that's how much we care about you guys. That's not true at all. Not even kinda. All right? I'm not awake at 1:15. If I'm awake at 1:15, I'm still awake at 1:15.
Which he does do on occasion.
It does happen.
I can't do that.
I would be lying to say that less than once a month, there's a night where I just don't go to bed. There's a night where I'm like, nope, not happening tonight. I'm just awake. I'm just going to stay up through the show tomorrow. But, you know, it is what it is. Still got to go to work. Still got to get it in gear and get that paycheck. Item number one. Your American League Championship Series underway. Two games in the books. Both of them won by the New York Yankees. The Bronx Bombers get a 6-3 win last night over the Cleveland Guardians. It was Gerrit Cole who went to the bump last night. Had himself a good day. Not a stellar day, at least not by Gerrit Cole expectations. 4.1 innings pitch, gave up 6 hits, 2 earned runs. K'd 4 through 89 pitches before he made way to Clay Holmes, who finished up the fourth inning. It was Hill, Canley, and Weaver that cleaned up the Cleveland Guardians for the New York Yankees. The Yanks put one up on the board in the first, another couple in the second inning. The Yanks would have one more in the sixth, and then an Aaron Judge two-run shot in the seventh inning would give the Yankees all the breathing room that they need. The Guardians put a pair up in the fifth frame to draw within one, but it was all Yankees in the back third of this contest to go up in the ALCS, 2-0. Tanner Beebe took to the bump for the Guardians last night. Just 4 outs recorded. Gave up 5 hits and 2 earned runs, 3 runs in total before he was removed after just 39 pitches. The Guardians would have to use 7 more pitchers to get through the remainder of this L last night. It is now 2-0, both home games won by the Yankees. They'll head back to Cleveland for a contest tomorrow evening. Your NLCS gets back underway tonight. This time back in New York City as the Mets will host the Dodgers tonight. First pitch at 8:08. Walker Buehler to the bump for the Dodger Blue, and the Mets will counter with Luis Severino tomorrow night. Good night of baseball. 2 games tomorrow night. Both the Yankees at the Guardians and the Dodgers at the Mets will take place tomorrow. The Mets and Dodgers, by the way, in the NLCS tied up at 1 game apiece. So that's where we stand in your baseball playoffs. Let us get now to item number 2. Raúl Jiménez scored a goal last night and assisted on another as game numero dos of the Mauricio Pochettino era for the U.S. United States men's national soccer team. I don't know why I said U.S. United States men's national, but it is what it is.
For clarification, in case people forgot the first part.
Yep. They heard in case you got confused about what U.S. meant. The United States men's national team falls to Mexico yesterday, the first time in 7 games that the Americans did not at least draw against the Mexicans. Now, there is reason to curb the panic here. Several U.S. regulars were absent from this game due to injury or usage time, rest time. Christian Pulisic did not play. Weston McKennie, Timothy Weah, Valerian Balogun, none of them played last night. And the results of that showed up on the stat sheet. The Americans outshot 17-5 overall, 5-1 shot advantage on target for the Mexicans last night. The Americans did have most of those players available for them on Saturday when they took on Panama, got a 2-0 win, and that one a 2-0 loss yesterday. It is just the third time so far this year that the Americans failed to score in a friendly. The last time was back in July against Uruguay. They did the same thing against Slovenia in January. That, for a lot of us, felt like was kind of the nail in the coffin of Greg Berhalter as the manager. Mauricio Pochettino, the Argentinian, has taken over just his second game as the manager on the sideline for Team USA Footy. I'm not panicking here, all right? I'm not panicking. You just had a major change in leadership. You just had a massive shift, not just in leadership, but in personality. I watched an interview earlier this week with Timothy Weah, a longtime vet of this squad. I've heard some other interviews done with some of the other veterans of this U.S. men's national team, and all of them, and obviously they're going to. It's not just that they gave glowing reviews of Pochettino so far. It's what they're saying. It's actually breaking down the game. Weah said earlier in the week that the practices, the training sessions for Team USA are already more intense than they ever were under Greg ago, which makes sense. Greg was always a cat that kind of felt like he, you know, listen, locker room chemistry is a big deal, but what you can't do is go out there and, you know, kind of slack at it so that the boys don't complain about, you know, practice being too hard. Weah said practices under Pochettino are already longer and more intense than they ever were under Greg Berhalter. And he says he thinks the results of that are going to start showing up on the field sooner rather than later. Didn't get him last night. Also, we're missing probably five of the starting 11 that you will see when we get to the Gold Cup here in just a handful of months from now. So no reason to panic here. No reason to panic about this L. No reason to panic about losing to L Tree. They brought their A squad. We brought half our A squad and half our B squad. It's not the end of the world. The Americans are going to be, I think, fine. Obviously, we don't know. We won't know till we get into international competition that matters. But not the end of the world last night. 2-0, Mexico defeats the United States in a friendly. Let's go to item number three. As Lonzo and I have pointed out to you many, many times, if you want to know what the late breaking news in the world of sports is, tune into the last hour of the show and then stay tuned for 8 minutes after it's over. Because 8 minutes after it's over is when news breaks, like it did yesterday when we found out that Davante Adams' trade has gone through. In return for a conditional third-round pick that could be upgraded to a second-round pick if Davante Adams makes the Pro Bowl or if Davante Adams is on the roster for an AFC Championship game appearance of the New York Jets, it will move to a second-round pick. But the Raiders send send Davante Adams out to the Jets for a third-round pick. Aaron Rodgers now has his target. I was on BetMGM tonight with Brad and Ryan last night, which you can hear right here on the Fan Upstate every weekday from 7 to 11 p.m. And they asked me the question, is this precursor to a Jets playoff run? And my answer was no. And it's not because the talent's not there. It's because Aaron Rodgers is the third most sacked quarterback in the NFL. And I don't know how much of that game you watched on Monday night. Rodgers got his ass kicked. Like, he got hit a lot. And you could see by the end of the game, unless he is just acting for dramatic purpose, by about midway through that game, Lonzo, correct me if I'm wrong here, Aaron Rodgers was pretty noticeably limping around the football field. Not like he was favoring any one particular body part, just that general, I'm getting my rear end handed to me pain look.
He did get high load. He did, and his leg got twisted a little. So, I mean, that's why he was limping.
I mean, that's part of it. But also, he's the third. The only quarterbacks sacked more than him are like Caleb Williams and Deshaun Watson. That's the list. I actually think he's tied for third most sacked quarterback in the NFL. The problem is, when he gets hit, he's getting racked. And there's a big difference between 22-year-old Caleb Williams getting hit 5, 6, 7 times a game and 41-year-old Brett Favre. I mean, excuse me, Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, I got Packers who becomes Jets quarterback on the brain.
Yeah, except this time.
Remember when Brett Favre was a Jet?
He won't be able to go to Minnesota if he's following the path because Minnesota's playing really well right now.
Yeah, they don't need him. They don't need him. Aaron Rodgers getting smoked behind that offensive line. And until they fix that, look, it's a good pickup. I mean, anytime you can get a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver to add to a Hall of Fame quarterback, you absolutely take the shot, right? I mean, if the Jets are going to make any sort of postseason run, adding Davante Adams obviously helps with that. But, man, if you can't keep that man upright and clean, you know, Grandpa QB doesn't immediately bolster a ton of postseason confidence, not because of anything Aaron Rodgers said. Although I will say this, I didn't love him throwing Mike Williams under the bus yesterday. They asked him about that pick, that end of the game, and he's like, yeah, he ran the wrong route. He's supposed to go to the red line. Instead, he threw an in-break. You know, I can't read that. I got to throw it to a spot, and he has what it's designed to give a one-on-one coverage, and he didn't run to the right spot. So I got, even if he's right, like even if Aaron Rodgers is right, I don't know right now that openly and publicly throwing your wide receivers under the bus is the right move.
They do better, Williams. I don't recall you criticizing Tom Brady about his age.
Because Tom Brady wasn't getting hit six times a game at 41. Okay, Tampa Bay, you know,
pointed out. How many times are you going to point out his age? We all know.
I'm going to point at his age where it matters. And when you are the third most sacked quarterback in the NFL, your age matters. 41-year-old, as somebody who is staring down the barrel of 40 and what feels like my own mortality, I promise you, I don't bounce back from the little things like I did when I was 22. Two weeks ago.
You lost all that weight. You look good. You looked bouncy yesterday.
No, I agree with all those things.
Yeah, I mean,
but I'm also the dude that the other day, my head came off my pillow in the middle of the night, and I woke up and I was like stuck like Lurch for 15 minutes until I could get my neck to bend. All right? Like, you just don't have the same durability, flexibility, elasticity at 41 as you do at 20. If Aaron Rodgers was the third least sacked quarterback in the NFL, I'd have no reason to bring up his age. None. Because he's still throwing the football. But when you are getting popped over and over, right? Like, if Lonzo, if we had a... if we had a guy that walked around the radio station and he decided one day that he was just going to start, just pass pro-ing people into the wall, and he did it to you, and he did it to me, and he did it to an intern who was 22, you know who they're going to be concerned about first.
Well, first of all, I ain't getting pass pro-ed into no wall. I know that I'm pretty old. This would have to be a large individual or someone who's just waiting in the hall when I walk towards the restroom and get me there.
I mean, listen, as somebody who would get past pro into the wall, my man, you got to fight that chair some days.
True.
You don't think if Fat Boy turned the corner and wanted to throw a pass pro at you, he's not moving you?
First of all, I'd hear him coming.
Not the point. Not if he gets that kick step quick, you might not. All right, Fat Boy's got that quick first step. He's got, wow, throw that foot back. Get that back foot set, plant it, push drive through it. The point here is, if me, you, and an intern all got flat back, they're checking on you first, respectfully. Then me, it's also then the 22-year-old.
Yeah, a matter of importance.
Yes, that's why. That's why. Anyway, Rodgers has a new target available to him with the Jets. But as a 41-year-old quarterback who is getting sacked at a ridiculous rate, I just don't know how much it's going
to
matter.
Everyone seems to be concerned about Garrett Wilson now that Deontay's come. I mean, it's still that's a decent wide receiver core now.
That's a good wide receiver core. Honestly, like, the weapons are there.
I think Garrett Wilson's going to have a lot more times of being open now.
Yeah, he's not got CB1 on him every snap now, right? You can't game plan to put CB1 on Garrett Wilson and put a dog coverage safety up over the top of him every week now. Like, now you've got to play him like a genuine two, a genuine Y.
I know. It bothers me how, oh, no, he should be really upset. It's like, no, he should not. He should be happy because now he's going to get open.
Yeah, but Devontae also gets open even if you do double team him. So, I mean, the targets will go down, but the quality will go up. I'll say that. Not to be outdone, by the way, Josh Allen went, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll take one of those. I'll take a wide receiver, and they got one, Amari Cooper, coming over from the Cleveland Browns to join Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen finally has his number one wide receiver, and all it costs them, and it is only 1 year. It's only 1 year rental, as Amari Cooper's on the final year of a 5-year deal that he initially signed with the Dallas Cowboys. Buffalo sends a 2025 third rounder and seventh rounder in 26 in return for Amari Cooper and a 25 sixth rounder coming now to Buffalo. So Josh Allen's now got his number one wide receiver. Not as good as Devontae as Amari Cooper, but I also think Josh Allen's better than Aaron Rodgers at this stage in his career, so I think it kind of levels out. The Bills are still going to be the favorite to win this AFC East. All right, let's talk some NFL. Let's take a look at some of the developing news, these trades, and more when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Denton Day from SiriusXM coming on in the next segment to talk some college football with us. Looking forward to that. So let's talk some NFL here before we get to the college game here in just a minute with Denton Day of SiriusXM. Let's start with this. We talked a little bit about the trade moves that got made yesterday. Are the Jets, Alonzo, I've given you my argument. My argument is, does this change something? Yeah, you add a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver, the offense is going to get better. However, I don't think it changes anything, especially with the Amari Cooper trade of the Bills. I don't think it changes what the Jets ultimately are going to end up being this season, because the problems they have right now aren't solved by Devontae Adams. The problems they have right now are a lack of clutch gene in games. We saw it against the Bills. We saw it against the Jags the week before that. The games they've lost, they've been in, just haven't been able to finish, A. And B, again, like I'm not repeatedly bringing up the age of Aaron Rodgers because it prevents him from being able to throw a football. I'm bringing up the age of Aaron Rodgers because, number one, the guy's getting hit almost as much as anybody that's not Deshaun Watson in the dumpster fire that's Cleveland right now. And B, part of the game of Aaron Rodgers is his ability to extend plays with his legs. And I don't care who you are, you're not as fast at 41 as you are 31 as you are 26. So if the Jets are going to continue to lean on Aaron Rodgers and ask him to extend plays, yeah, having Devontae Adams certainly helps in that regard. But if my man's running for his damn life, it's not like he can wait and develop Adams' routes. I think they're a better team.
He doesn't have to do that. Here's the thing. So the fact that he's been thrown to Lazard a lot is because he knows him and he knows where he'll be. And he does have the same rapport with Devontae Adams. So he knows how Adams runs routes. He knows if he's in trouble, Adams is going to be where he's supposed to be. I think that helps. Now he has two receivers. He knows they're going to be exactly where they should be for how he runs an offense. So he's going to have to, he won't have to think as much. He's got two outlets now that he knows for sure they're going to be where they're supposed to be. Which means he can get the ball out quicker and maybe have a shot of staying upright.
I'm not discrediting that at all.
Yeah, chemistry, I mean, it accounts for a lot, especially between the receivers and a quarterback.
Not discrediting that in the least. I agree with every bit of that. What I am going to say, though, is a guy being where he's supposed to be when the quarterback is running for his life is a lot different than a guy being where he's supposed to be when a quarterback's going through the progression and has the opportunity to plant the ball and throw the ball where he wants to throw it. On top of that, Devontae Adams' route running is a skill set that I think is more about the development and the setting of the route, right? Like Devontae can get on a 9 and just go. But Devontae's ability to beat you comes from his ability to throw a move or a double move into the route to get into the route and get through. And Aaron Rodgers has got to get rid of the football. That's just the offense that they're in right now. He doesn't have. We talked about this last year. With Bryce Young, when I brought up the graph and I pointed out that BY, when he has over the league average, which was very rare last year, when he has over the league average in time to pass from a clean pocket, his accuracy last year was one of the most accurate ratings in the league. when he had over that 2.6 whatever seconds it was to throw the ball. The problem is he also had the lowest percentage of clean pocket throws in the league. He just didn't get that time. That's kind of, I'm putting that same argument right now to Aaron Rodgers. It's not that he can't make the throws or that he's inaccurate with the throws. He very clearly can and is not. What I'm saying is the dude's not getting the time that a quarterback needs to throw, and in asking a 41-year-old player to extend plays as the Jets are currently doing with Aaron Rodgers, Devontae, I don't think, is a dude that, like, it's snap, one, two, throw to Adams. Like, it takes that 2.5 for him to develop that route. I just don't, it makes the Jets better. Of course, because at the end of the day, you can lean on the old Devontae's down there somewhere offense and just throw it up for grabs. But throwing it up for grabs is what the Jets have been doing. And granted, they haven't had a Devontae out there, but throwing it up for grabs is what they have been doing.
Probably not the time to say throwing it up for grabs after that awesome Hail Mary pass for a touchdown. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but there's a reason we're talking about the Hail Mary touchdown. That's because it was extraordinary, right? Like, that's because, let me put it this way. If it gets to the point that the Jets are starting to lean on relying on Hail Marys, they got bigger problems that Devontae Adams ain't going to solve. It's a bad offensive line. It's a bad offensive line in front of a 41-year-old quarterback, right? If Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers but 25, I'm like, yeah, it's great. I just start rolling the pocket left and right, but he ain't. And he's slowing down games go on because of how hard and often he's getting
hit. Saying this is less impactful than the receiver going to Buffalo just because Aaron Rodgers is 41.
Not just because Aaron Rodgers is 41. I feel like you think that this is me taking shots at Aaron Rodgers. I promise you, if I want to take a shot at Aaron Rodgers, I'm just going to say, this is a shot at Aaron Rodgers. I'm doing quite the opposite. I'm actually defending Aaron Rodgers right now, which is not something I do very often. The defense here is, when you stick him behind a garbage offensive line and he's 41, when you stick him behind a garbage offensive line and that forces him to extend plays at 41, it changes that game entirely, right? I would be willing to say right now, if Aaron Rodgers had the opportunity, had the ability to sit inside of a clean pocket, if Aaron Rodgers had genuinely league average time to sit in the pocket and throw the foot, just league average time to sit in the pocket and throw the football, I truly believe that Aaron Rodgers would be discussed with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. He would still be in that conversation. The reason that he's not right now is because they're just asking too much out of a 41-year-old quarterback, right? This is, we talked about Brady when he was with the Bucs at the same age. Well, you didn't hammer his age. Correct. I didn't have to. Tampa Bay went out and they spent draft picks to build an offensive line because they knew Brady was a statue at 25. He wasn't going to suddenly become Pat Mahomes at 41. So what'd they do? Now, they had the advantage. They had the advantage that Godwin and Evans were already there. They had the advantage of already having a great receiver core when Brady showed up, so they could do this. But they invested in putting guys on the offensive line out front of him, so that he didn't have to extend plays. They didn't have to rely on Brady doing special things. They just said, hey, sit in the pocket. We're going to give you all the time we can give you. Throw good footballs. And they won a Super Bowl doing that. I think Rodgers has still got win a Super Bowl level play in him. I really do. I think Aaron Rodgers is still good enough to win a Super Bowl at 41. However, if you put a 41-year-old guy, whether it's Rodgers or Brady or Breeze or anybody else, if this was Drew Brees, I'd be having the same conversation. If you put that guy, this was actually the problem for Drew Brees at the end of his career. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is 40. Sorry, he turns 41 in a month and a half. My bad. when you...
Yeah, cut Rob some slack. He's been saying he's 40 for this entire year, and he's not until February.
Okay, let's be honest. We've all been saying, I'm 40 for like 14 years now. But I think that if you put a guy like that, whether it's Breeze Rogers, whatever, Jackson in 20 years, you put that guy behind an offensive line that gets him hit as much as almost anybody else in the NFL, and he's 41, adding Devontae, who takes time to develop his stuff, ain't going to help. All right, he's going to be 41 sooner rather than later. Let's see. We got a couple of texts in here real quick before we get Denton Day in here in the next text, or the next segment, pardon me. Texter says, I think Devontae is ruining his career by going to the Jets. Rodgers isn't who he used to be, and the Jets organization is bad. Amari Cooper is a great pickup for the Bills, but it isn't going to improve as much as people think. Defense is still very messed up, and the Bills can't stop enough drives. Yeah, they're planning on trying to win in shootouts here. Run, Allen, run, and get it to Amari Cooper. That's the Bills want to win games 42-35 now, is what this comes down to. All right, Denton Day from SiriusXM talks college footy with us next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate, 7:38 on a Wednesday morning. Rocking and rolling through the show. Today, the day, of course, ladies and gentlemen, that we all, with great anticipation, turn our eyes towards the football weekend upcoming. And here to talk a little college football with us is the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. He is also a host on 106.7 The Fan up in the D.C., Baltimore, Arlington, like just the whole area. And I'll tell you right now, I've had the pleasure, the privilege of sharing the airwaves with the illustrious Denton Day a number of times on the BetQL Network. And I am disappointed in myself. It's taken us this long to get him here on the Rob Brown Show, making his debut in Greenville, South Carolina. Please welcome Denton Day to the program. What's up, big fella?
Rob, what's going on, man? I appreciate the warm intro. I've realized two things. One, I have not congratulated you on getting married.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
And then two, I need to decorate behind me. It looks like I'm being held hostage right now. So the next time I'm on here, I'll have some sort of decorations behind me so I don't look like I'm in a prison cell.
Bro, you are.
Rob's got some grandma pictures he could send you that he used to have in his apartment behind him.
Listen, yeah. I made the mistake, Denton. During the COVID days, We all worked from home, and I made the mistake of trying to be a classy individual with nice art hanging on my walls, and our listeners just weren't having that.
I tried that too, and I got a throw blanket that I mistook for tapestry. I didn't tell my girlfriend at the time, so I hung it on my wall, and then she walked in. I'm like, oh, she's gonna think I'm bougie now, and she's like, why do you have a blanket hanging on your wall? I was just like, this is why I'm not an interior designer.
There's certain things that just remain true about those of us who have conned other people into letting us talk about sports for a living. We can't grow up. It's not we don't want to. We're just incapable of it, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. I've never lived that one down.
Denton Day joins us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Let's jump in, Big Dog, and let's talk about some of the big results from last weekend. Then we'll look ahead to where we go the rest of this football season. Oregon, Ohio State, aside from the fact that Dan Lanning proved himself to be a mad scientist, massaging the rules ever so carefully to give the Ducks a little bit of an advantage there at Autzen Stadium. I think a lot of people learned a couple of things. Number one, Eugene, Oregon's a tough place to go win a damn football game. And number two, the Ducks are pretty good, Denton. I was on with Ryan Horvat on BetMGM Tonight last night, and he asked, are the Ducks a shoe-in to win the Big Ten? My answer is no. They may run into Ohio State again. Maybe this is the year that James Franklin doesn't poop the bed and lose a big game. He tried his best against USC, but they pulled it out. Just your overall thoughts after the Ohio State-Oregon game on that conference as a whole.
So I love Dan Lanning. Right now, he's my favorite coach in college football. And the worst thing that could have happened to everybody else was this weekend, because his creative aggressiveness finally paid off. He's been this mad scientist, but last year against Washington, not once but twice, it never worked out in his favor. So the fact that he was able to pull off some of these weird, unorthodox ways of taking time off the clock, kicking a ball right at the chest of somebody on a kickoff to give yourself not an onside kick, but a recovery. Like, he was able to do these creative things. And the second you give a guy like that confidence that's already inspired the way that he is, it's only going to get worse. To answer one of your questions, I don't think they're a shoo-in to win the Big Ten. There's still a lot of football left to be played. And the thing that has made Oregon such a fascinating case for the last 10 years, and really why we loved Pac-12 After Dark the way that we did, is because teams like Oregon found weird ways late in the season on night games to lose. So I need to see them run the table. I think this is the best team we've seen since the Mariota days, certainly, but I need to see them run the table. I love the game, though, and I hope we see it again. That was two really great teams playing really good football, and I promise that Will Howard is not going to strike out looking if they play again. You know, they should have showed him that that Nico I stuff from Tennessee, saying, look, if you have a situation like this, you have to throw the ball. It either has to be quick or it has to be long. But the second you kind of wait more than 2 seconds on your internal clock, you have to get rid of that football. You can't run it. So he'll learn from that. But that's one that's going to be tough for him to overcome mentally. I'm sure he had a rough day whenever they watch film, whether it's Sunday, Monday, whenever. When they watch that film, I'm sure he was not pleased with himself.
Just want to say the last quarterback made a mistake like that, he's no longer there. He couldn't handle the pressure and went to Rutgers, I believe.
Syracuse.
Same thing.
It's comical. He's out there. Their coach is going to send Ryan Day a bottle of champagne, apparently.
How do you like Fran Brown, by the way? I love this cat, man. I got a chance to interview him at ACC Media Days. And as much as I loved Dino at Syracuse, Fran Brown was a guy, I'm like, you've got all the charisma and the spirit of Dino Babers, but also it kind of feels like you got a little something cooking out there for the Orange.
I love coaches that have personality.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've been really upset with for the last 6 months is that now that Saban is on television, we get all of the personality. I was like, you robbed us of all of these like jokes, all the fun that he seems to have was robbed of us doing these silly commercials for his 13 years, whatever it was at Alabama. Like, I love a coach that's going to be out there with personality and can actually coach. So I'm a big fan up there at Syracuse.
Let me run something by you. I want to get back to games here in a minute, but we were having a conversation yesterday. We were playing some of the audio from the Arizona State win over the weekend, and we got into a little bit about the celebrations that were taking place on the field and the enthusiasm of that coaching staff. I have said, Denton, since the era of NIL and the transfer portal, there are three C's to building a football team: cash, coach, and culture. And I think they all kind of rely on each other a little bit. I think we are probably in college football going to start moving towards the end of the gruff, stiff upper lip coach like a Nick Saban. And coaches that have that excitement and that personality, like Dan Lanning, like Fran Brown, I think it's their time to shine because players gravitate towards that. And now that guys can jump around after they've signed and played a year somewhere, I think those types of coaches, like, I think it's the era of the fun-loving coach moving forward, to the chagrin of some of our older listeners and college football fans. I think you're going to see a hell of a lot more Dan Lannings and a hell of a lot less Nick Sabans moving forward.
I tend to agree with you. I am curious, though, as to, because, like, right now we feel this. I feel like I felt a certain kind of way about Nick Saban for X amount of years. Then I see him with all this personality.
Was it hatred? It was hatred.
No, I actually never hated Saban. I am on the dark side with that one. You know, I will fire up a red lightsaber and go to death for the Emperor. I'm on the dark. I always loved Nick Saban. But, like, I feel like behind closed doors, they get that. So it's going to be really interesting to see how coaches kind of balance that a little bit. Like I said, I'd love, if you're going to be out there, if you're making jokes at press conferences, if you're having fun, I am pro storming the field in most scenarios. Like, you had to beat a ranked team. You know, when Colorado stormed the field and they beat Baylor, like, early, I was like, guys, what do you do? Like, you got to beat a ranked team to storm the field. Like, you're Colorado. But I'm in favor of all the fun that comes. Like, this is supposed to be fun. And everything outside of the actual games seems to be collapsing in on itself in, like, this weird despair. But this is supposed to be fun. So if coaches are going to be out there celebrating, celebrate your heart out. Like, that's what I want to see as a fan, especially if you beat – if you're a team like Arizona State that's not very good and you beat a team like Utah that for years has been really good and was anticipated to be really good, you should be celebrating and partying.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Denton Day is the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. Also a host on 106.7 The Game up in the Baltimore, D.C. area here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. We got a big one coming up, Texas and Georgia. Everybody's panicked right now, Denton Day, about, everybody. Georgia fans are panicked right now. Everybody else loves to see it. About Georgia after they drop to Alabama. Then Alabama, of course, turns around. They lose to Vanderbilt on the road. South Carolina nearly snipes them the very next week. So the Georgia fans went from, hey, we lost the game, but it's to Alabama. That's a pretty good squad, to we lost the game to Alabama, who then lost to Vanderbilt and should have lost to South Carolina. And then there's Texas. And to me, like, it feels like nobody wants to question Texas. Like, it's some grand sin against college football to question the sheriff, or excuse me, the deputy of Fansville right now, Quinn Ewers and co. I actually think this game is, like, knockdown, drag-out potential. I'm not a big believer in Carson Beck in the biggest scenarios, but he's got a chance to prove me wrong this weekend. What do you got in this one?
I'm leaning Texas. Texas is the best team in college football because they have the guy that I trust the most behind center. And it was really smart of them to bring Quinn Ewers back this past week, knowing that you're going up against a team in Oklahoma where there's going to be this heightened sense of rivalry, right? Like, this is one of the most historic rivalries in college football. But on top of that, you know that Oklahoma doesn't have a good offense. So you allow yourself the ability to kind of shake the rust off going up against a really, really good defense. Because I love Oklahoma's defense this year. It really is a shame that they waited 2 years, 3 years to have a defense like this when they could have paired this kind of defense up with a quarterback. But that's neither here nor there. But it was really smart of them to bring him back so you can knock that rust off to get prepared for this game against Georgia. Because I'm with you. I think Carson Beck has cool tattoos. I don't think he's really great in the fourth quarter. And I certainly don't think he's great against really, really good teams in hostile environments. So I think Texas is going to come away with this one, but I do think it's going to be another classic. I mean, we've been really blessed this year, Rob, to the two games that have had the most anticipation so far this season have really lived up to the hype. I expect that to continue this weekend with Texas and Georgia.
Denton Day, SiriusXM host on College Football Overtime, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate, talking a little bit of college football. What I don't know how much you've got around. We talked about coaches earlier. Shane Beamer, obviously, folks down here in South Carolina paying very close attention, and I'm interested because Denton Day, I'm with you. I love young coaches. I love fun coaches. I love coaches that make it fun, that I want to root for. But there's also an element of, while I agree it is supposed to be fun, I also want my football program to win. I win. It turns out, Denton, I've done the research, winning sucks less than losing most of the time. This is a guy in Shane Beamer that I've had one question about since he showed up, and only one. We've had him on the show. Phenomenal dude. Fun to talk to. Young, energetic. The players line up. They love him. But the consistency around the Gamecock program hasn't really been there. And I feel like going into or going through year four, I'd like that's where I need to see that consistency, right? Like, I don't subscribe anymore to the old adage of, oh, 3 years, we'll judge in year four. Yo, the portal makes it's your team faster now through that. What's your read? Do you have any read on where Shane Beamer is? You got a guy that gets stomped by Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss at the house coming off the bye week, but then he turns around and they go to Tuscaloosa and they're you know, one bad quarterback play away from pulling an upset. What's your read on where Shane Beamer and that program are?
Yeah, man, if Shane Beamer, you know, if Lenore Sellers makes that throw in the back of the end zone and goes to overtime, like, who knows what happens in that game? Because if he beats Alabama, that talk of the loss to Ole Miss is completely out the door. You beat Alabama, and all of a sudden your job is significantly safer. I agree with you in that I wanted to see Shane Beamer win way more frequently than he has. Because if you take him in a vacuum, I think he's a really good college football coach. He has a lot of the things that make up or will make up a really good college football coach in this new era of the NCAA, but the consistency isn't there. And you can only lean on we play in the SEC for so long because you got guys that are pumping money into the program saying, that's cool, but like, we're giving you our money. You need to get some sort of return on investment with this. And our preferences wins. We want to be happy on Saturday night. We want to be happy on Sunday morning. We don't want to tune into radio on Monday and hear Rob talk about how we just narrowly missed for like the fourth week in a row. So I thought last year was going to be the year that South Carolina really took a big step forward. And then based on some of the way that they played at the beginning of this season, I thought maybe there's a chance, and maybe there still is. Like, we had the benefit of being in mid-October, so there's still a lot of opportunities left to pick up some wins, get to a good bowl game, and then maybe pick up an upset. It feels like anyone can be beaten this year in the SEC, which puts South Carolina in a really great spot. Maybe bring the Rexpecs back for Lenore Sellers. Maybe he makes that throw if he has Rexpecs on. I'm just saying, big Rexpec fan over here. But I think after this year, if it's more of the same, the questions are going to start to be asked a lot more loudly and a lot more confidently.
Denton Day, Sirius XM host here on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upset. Got another minute or two, Denton. I will take that same thought and flip it around and talk about the Clemson Tigers. This was a team everybody started to push the panic button about. The narrative about Dabo being unwilling to use the portal to make his team better, and he the whole time has been saying, look, I haven't seen guys in the portal that are better than the guys that I have, or at least in my belief, they're not better. And now all of a sudden, Clemson's putting up 40 plus a game. They're one of the most prolific offenses. Folks are starting to whisper in the wind that potentially Cade Klubnik could be at the Downtown Athletic Club in New York City at the end of the year. Is Clemson a natty threat now with the emergence of Phil Mafah, of Cade Klubnik? And I think with Garrett Riley being allowed to actually run the offense now.
Oh, that's a tough one. I am going to very carefully say yes. They're going to get in. They're the best team in the ACC. You know, Miami has Cam Ward, who's the best quarterback, but that team, they are flirting with a loss. And I think if they see Clemson in the ACC championship game, it won't just be a loss. It'll be a bad loss. The one thing about Dabo is that everyone has always criticized him for the transfer portal stuff, at least nationally. I'm sure the criticism is a little bit more hyper-focused locally. But nationally, they criticize him for the transfer portal stuff. No one really criticizes his ability to actually coach. Like, when he gets his guys going, guys love Dabo Swinney. Like, it's been really impressive how much his guys love him. So if they get rolling, and they are rolling right now, I mean, Cade Klubnik is playing way better than I thought was even possible. They're probably the second scariest team that's flying under the radar right now in college football. Texas A&M is the first one because their defense is insane. But Clemson right now is the second scariest team that's flying under the radar while everyone's looking at Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Georgia. Clemson, by the time we get to December and January, they might really make some people's lives difficult.
Denton Day is a host on Sirius XM. He hosts College Football Overtime on Saturdays. He's also the host and producer on 106.7 The Fan up in the Baltimore, D.C. area, making his Rob Brown Show debut. You legend, you scholar, you icon. Brother, thanks for coming by, man.
Fellas, appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah, man. If you don't mind, we'll do it again next week because it's college football season.
I got it in my calendar.
Hell yeah. Already. I love it. Double D, good to see you, brother. Thanks for coming by, my man.
Yep. See you guys.
You got it. Denton Day joining us here for the very first time, but way far from the last time on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Good luck following that momentum, Lonzo, with the Sports Flash.
It's okay. You were in between him and me, so wow. I'm good. Headlock, baby. Yesterday, Gerrit Cole tossed six innings, gave up two, and struck out four in a 6-3 New York Yankees win over the Cleveland Guardians that gave the Bronx Bombers a 2-0 lead in the American League Championship Series. The series resumes tomorrow night in Cleveland. The NLCS continues tonight with the Dodgers at the Mets. The Devontae Adams saga concluded yesterday when the Las Vegas Raiders sent it to the New York Jets in return for a conditional third-round pick. That could become a second if Adams makes the Pro Bowl. The trade reunites Adams with quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who played with him in Green Bay. Carolina Hurricanes netted their first win of the 2024 season yesterday with a 4-2 win over the New Jersey Devils. Tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. Furman versus Western Carolina right here on The Fan Upstate.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app